earth, and sky.
We have to make the world aware in a clear way. What are the scientific options coming up, technological applications and impacts and kinds of choices?
You're listening to Jerome Glenn of the Millennium Project, and this is Earth Skies, Clear Voices for Science. Glenn is talking about the 2008 State of the Future report, compiled by scientists and other experts, a comprehensive look at future trends in world affairs 10 years down the road. In the second of a two-part interview, Glenn speaks with Earth Skies' Jorge Salazar about why he's optimistic about the role of science in the world's future.
Tell me more about the role of science and what impact science is making on our future for better or for worse, you know, for people worldwide.
Well, in the CD of the 2008 State of the Future, there's a study we did a couple of years ago on the future issues of science and technology. This is for the Office of Science, Department of Energy. And in there, one of the conclusions was how to resolve the contradiction in the world between those who say, you got to regulate this because there's such tremendously powerful breakthroughs coming up in science that in the wrong hand, so to speak, could do the world harm. And on the other hand, the other group, other extreme, says, well, if we regulate this, we'll just drive science underground and it'll be less peer-reviewed and it'll be make things actually worse. So how can we reconcile these two directions? One, we have in there the suggestion of an international science and technology organization. And it's not like a new bureaucracy so much. It's more of a collective intelligence system so that you have a better user interface over internet and a better organizational structure for the knowledge of science and technology. And this way, information could generate its own power if it's easily available and easily digested and clear and with a range of views, because not everybody agrees on everything, even in the science community, obviously. But we have to make the world aware in a clear way. What are the scientific options coming up, technological applications and impacts and kinds of choices? Because a lot of countries are making choices based upon external consultants coming in and twisting arms or maybe bribery. About $1 billion are paid in bribes a year, $1 billion with a big B, according to the World Bank. So if we can get a good information system, that may help.
What are some of the most important areas where, you know, where we're making gains or where we're losing gains in creating a better future?
We chart 15 global challenges every year, and we watch the progress or regress on all of these. And these are actually available, short versions are available on our website, and your listeners are welcome to read those and put their input in. They have better insights, better approaches. We're happy to see the patterns. We take all these things in. That's part of our process as well, is having a back door open to the unknown. Clearly, we are living longer, except in certain parts of Africa because of AIDS, although AIDS is now leveled off and beginning to actually begin to reduce a bit. The rate of increase is reducing in Africa. But worldwide, the health conditions are getting better per capita. Half the world, by our assessment and some others, is potentially unstable. This is one of the big, I think, stories, I think, in the 2008 State of the Futures. We've added up, as have others, countries and locations that are vulnerable to either desertification, failed states, falling water tables, and other sort of, and rising prices of food, rising prices of energy. Taking all these sort of factors together doesn't mean that half the world's going to go up in flames. It just means that half the world is vulnerable. Any of these things could go up in a serious manner very soon. But at the same time, we are more educated than ever before. The science and technology solutions are coming along very fast. We are healthier. They got more medical access per person and more income as well. People are getting richer. On the living longer thing, this is something that's not well understood. I'm going to pause on this one a little bit. If you take a look at UN forecasts on world population, you'll see that we're about, 6.7 or so billion on the planet. And that's expected to go up around 9 billion or so around the year 2050. And then it falls off to about 5.5 billion So from 9 to 5.5 billion is an extraordinary fall off from 2050 to 2100. Now, this means, and because we are living longer, and there are medical breakthroughs, and a lot of these breakthroughs haven't even come to affect the demographics yet. A lot of it has fallen off because the babies aren't dying as rapidly as they used to. But the big breakthroughs, in my judgment, have not come to fore yet. I think they will come to fore. And as they do, then that means an awful lot of those 5.5 billion people, and maybe more than 5.5 because if they live longer, will be, quote, old age. And we have these social contracts around the world that when you get to a certain age, you get a retirement program. Well, if this continues the way it's going, people are going to be retired income more than productive income. That is not, I don't think, sustainable. So we may need to have not only people living longer, but mentally living longer. And there's reasons to believe this is possible. Just 15 or more years ago, we didn't have the word telomeres. This is the ends of DNA that as they deteriorate, you age. If we can manage the deterioration, then we don't age as much. Secondly, it looks like we can take adult stem cells, something like one out of every 50,000 of your cells is an adult stem cell. If we can figure out how to get those things out of the brain, take them out, clone them up, stick them back in, we can refresh the brain. There's a lot of ideas out there that is being researched on how you make the person not only live longer, but become more intelligent and more alive. There's a lot of research on increasing intelligence. In fact, I know of no country in the world that has, as a national objective, increasing intelligence. Now, the competitive advantage of the knowledge economy is obviously knowledge and intelligence. Competitive advantage in agriculture is healthy land and, you know, all that sort of stuff. So we're moving into a knowledge age in the world, theoretically, where countries will come to the realization that improving the not only the knowledge access and information access, but the brain power of individuals, then we can start to say, well, okay, what have we learned about brain functioning? What have we, and what ought we to learn? We can really do a great deal more, better than we have done in the past. And these, a lot of the decision makers are just so overwhelmed with all this information, they don't know what the heck to do. So we have to simplify and clarify and create better collective intelligences for not only political decision making, but individual choices in decision making.
You've been listening to Jerome Glenn, co-author of the 2008 State of the Future Report, speaking with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar. To subscribe to this and other free science podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
We're at earthsky.org.